So welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this beautiful and wonderful Sabbath. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those that are listening to the recorded service and also to those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. Welcome, dear ones, and we have another important church service and sermon to listen to and to get into, so let us move forward. Our opening song for today's service is entitled, We Shall Behold Him. And the link for those that would like to follow the lyrics is found at lightministry.com/ID245.htm. We Shall Behold Him.
God bless you, dear brethren. Blessed Sabbath. The sky shall unfold, preparing His entrance. The stars shall applaud Him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in His eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold Him, then face to face. We shall behold Him. Yes, we shall behold Him face to face in all of His glory. We shall behold Him. Oh, we shall behold Him face to our Savior and Lord. And the Lord shall descend with the shout of His coming, and the sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place, and those who remain shall be changed in a moment, and we shall behold Him. than face to face. We shall behold him. Yes, we shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. We shall behold him. Yes, we shall behold him face to face. Our Savior and Lord, and we shall behold him, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. It is a beautiful song. And oh, what a day that will be to behold our Savior face to face. I invite you, dear ones, to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for being here in our midst and taking control of this meeting. We thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, for thy tender, self-sacrificing love for each one of us, as unworthy as we are. We thank you for being in our midst. We thank you, dear Savior, for being here in our midst as well. And please shine thy bright beams of righteousness, of truth, upon our hearts, and help us to see things clearly. And we thank you, dear Spirit, for being here in our midst as well. And please lead and guide us into all truth. Dispel the darkness. Remove self-blindness. Eliminate from us all pride of opinion, all custom and tradition of the elders, all sayings of human origin, so that only a thus saith the Lord, and it is written, and the truth as it is in Jesus may be clearly seen, understood, and then followed. And thank you so much for doing so. We thank you, Savior, that we're one day closer to your return, that the bride, your wife, is one day closer to being made up, to being ready. And thank you for the distinct privilege and honor it is for each one of us to have a part in making her up, if we're faithful to the end and allow you to so fully live through us that it is no longer I, but Christ that lives. Please be with our dear sister Rose. Please give her the words of wisdom from on high. Touch her lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar and speak through her to reach our hearts in allowing us to understand in a more full and complete way the reason why you created us the way that we are created and the reason why you want to tabernacle in us as your temple and sanctuary. And thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for being with us now. For we meet here in Jesus' name for his sake and exaltation of his character. Amen.
Sabbath blessing to everyone. Welcome to all the brethren that are coming in. And for those that will be listening to the recording in a later date, blessed Sabbath, and we hope and pray that you will be blessed. So we're going to go right into our study. We are still on the sanctuary of the body, the third temple. This is the second series of the system of the body, and we'll be discussing the endocrine system. For those that are just joining us for the first time, we already went through the introduction and the first series of the 12th system was with the nervous system. That was already done. And now we're going to continue with the second one. This study will be reflecting more on the virtues of Christ, how out of Christ, all that come forth from Him, it is for the building, the sanctification, the restoration of all His people. So the endocrine system operates and functions like the tribe of Asher. Why do we say that? In Genesis 49:20, it says about Asher, out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 24 and 25, tells us, and as Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Let's be a little bit familiar of what this system is all about. As you can see in the picture, it will be discussing all the actual glands that are part of his function, and each part of the glands that it operates, there's a major one that as small as it is, it has one of the most important jobs, and we'll be discussing it in this part of the beginning of our study. The endocrine system is made up of glands that produce and secrete hormones, chemical substance produced in the body that regulate the activity of cells or organs. These hormones regulate the body's growth, metabolism, the physical and chemical process of the body, and sexual development and function. The hormones are released into the bloodstream and may affect one or several organs throughout the body. All the information that will be shared today are all cited by where it has been taken from. Some of the information that is going to be discussed in part of the anatomy, the links will be in the very bottom of it, or for a better understanding to the law and to the testimony, you will see scriptures and also spirit of prophecy where it has been removed. None of the information that has been placed has anything to do with my opinion or my thinking. It's just basically taking everything that God created and placed so we can be able to truly understand how wonderful and marvelous we were made just for the glory of God. We will continue. Now, the endocrine system, remember that we were discussing in the first series of the nervous system how the brain actually operates like the government of God, and how all the help that the Lord has to be able to communicate with us, He do it to the messengers, either angels or men of God, or the mouthpiece that He has placed here in the earth for us to be able to know the way that we should go. So the endocrine system has a similar job as well. Let me just read the beginning just to refresh your memory. The nervous system sends electrical messages to control and coordinate the body. The endocrine system has a similar job, but uses chemicals to communicate. These chemicals are known as hormones, and the hormones is a specific messenger. molecule synthesized and secreted by a group of specialized cells called endocrine glands. These glands are ductless, which means that their secretion or hormones are released directly into the bloodstream and travel to elsewhere in the body to target organs upon which they act. Note that this is in contrast to our digestive glands, which have ducts for releasing the digestive enzyme that it is sited on where the information came from. So let's talk a little bit of where the messages that are supposed to be coming for the purpose of our wisdom or understanding that the Lord had gave us those 10 commandments, where was it placed, and how that was what God's people were supposed to lead themselves by. We're looking towards this location, and where the location of this particular system is related to Jesus mediating in the most holy place. So I'm going to be quoting and reading from early writing, page 32, and this is the third paragraph, and it reads, "In the holiest I saw an ark. On the top and side of it was pure gold. On each end of the ark was a lovely cherub with his wings stretched out over it. Their faces were turned towards each other, and they looked downward. Between angels was a golden censer. Above the ark, where the angel stood, was an exceeding bright glory that appeared like a throne where God dwelt. Jesus stood by the ark, and as the saints' prayers come up to him, the incense in the censer will smoke, and he will offer up the prayers with the smoke of the incense of his, to his Father." That is also taken, and you can find it also in a I think it's a compilation called Prayer, and that is page 218, paragraph 4, and you also will find it in Amazing Grace in page 86. So these are all the actual organs and glands that this particular system is going to actually let us know how, even as that major gland that I was going to discuss, I'm going to be discussing in a little while, all the things that it really does. And it's very similar to what Jesus did for us. He's not only our mediator, where all of his virtue will come out of him to be able to heal us from sin, from our righteousness, also to be able to take the prayers and be able to go before the Father and plead for our case. So I'm going to talk about all the organs that are mentioned here. This particular organ is called the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. They both work together. This gland is the major one that I want to discuss, how Christ as a mediator, that little small gland, it seems to be the size of a pebble, but it's so powerful because out of that little gland comes out the virtue to help the rest of the body to be able to release toxin, all the things that will be injurious. So this is going to be today's major topic today. Now, this particular one, sorry, let me just put it on it. It is the thyroid gland. You see that mass that is right around the larynx? This particular gland does a lot of work in accordance with the messages that come directly from the throne of God and also from the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. We're also going to discuss the adrenal gland, but not in this particular slide. It will be discussed in part two. Part one is going to more have a breakdown to the first one, which is the major one that is a symbol of Christ mediating before the throne. And also, this system will be discussing the pancreas, also the male testes in the female ovary. Moving on to the next slide. So Jesus, our high priest before the Father. The reason why I put the pictures is to be able to give a little bit of understanding to how the Lord marvelously made this body and the way how this body functions tells us a story about Jesus and his redemption for man and the work that he does for us, not only spiritually, but there's a physical manifestation of what's happening in our body every day that proves the word is true. This area right here is what I was discussing earlier, where this gland is so small, it's basically, please forgive me, this is a new chat room, and I'm trying to be able to see if I can find something that I can be able to better show exactly. Can you see it in the middle of the rectangle? You're going to see a little gland the size of a pebble that is cradled right between what you call the sternal bones that we learned in the first series and when we was discussing the nervous system. This gland, it is aided by the hypothalamus that is right above. Basically, all the neurons will be sending the message right into where the pituitary gland is, and that message that is given helps the secretion to go to what the body needs. Just like as the woman that was trying to be able to cure her issues of blood, with her faith, she hold on to the garment of God, which is Jesus. And once she did that by faith, virtue had went out from him, and it got the Savior's attention. So in Genesis 49:20, it says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arm." You see, this particular organ is right underneath our brain. Here. You see the black square is right under. So the power of the throne, it is actually the hands of Christ mediating for us for the purpose of our salvation is the everlasting arm. So let's discuss a little bit of what Christ really does. Not only in the most holy place right now, but that's the same function that he's doing in our body as we discuss a little bit later. So the efficiency of Christ's priesthood. Let us remember that our great high priest is pleading before the mercy seat in behalf of his ransomed people. He ever lived to make intercession for us. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The blood of Jesus is pleading with power and efficiency for those who are backsliding, for those who are rebellious, for those who sin against great light of love. Satan stands at our right hand to accuse us, and our advocate stands at God's right hand to plead for us. Notice that the same place where Christ is pleading, there is an accuser of thy brethren as well. So let's keep our thoughts and our mind on the one that is standing on the right hand of God, pleading for our case, and not really paying that much attention for those that are actually accusing us, for the advocate is at work for our salvation. He has never lost a case continuing that has been committed to him. Never, brethren, he has lost a case. So if the justice here in this world has failed, God has never lost a case through the pleading of his son in our behalf. Continuing, we may trust in our advocate, for he pleads his own merit in our behalf. That's why nothing is lost. Jesus has performed what we must perform here in human body. So he is our champion. He is the one that is representing us before the universe. And if we are not able by any, if we can't seem to wake up the next morning not knowing what's going to happen and how we're going to do it, just stay at the feet of Jesus and ask the Lord, pleading the Lord that he may be able to, how you say, send his virtue, that we may have one more step to be able to continue on in this road. Because we do have the enemy of soul behind us. But just remember that as he's moving by force, Christ is moving by power, as we just read. Hear his prayer before his betrayal and trial. Here is basically continuing the reading. Listen to his prayer for us, for he had us in remembrance. That is taken from Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 948, paragraph 4 to 5. And a little bit of that particular gland that is a representation of how Christ is before the most holy place pleading. This particular gland, the pituitary, is a powerful gland that secretes 9 major hormones. Although it secretes so many hormones, it is amazingly tiny, slightly small than a marble. It hangs from the underside of the brain, supported and cradled within a bony depression of the, this is the bone that I was trying to be able to pronounce earlier, is the sphenoid bone. This reminds me of the story of how this little babe had came to this world, cradled in a manger, yet his job is so amazingly powerful and broad, for he was our salvation. He is the one that, as small as the world may see, how could this babe can be able to bring salvation, not only to the world, but to put back the universe in harmony because of one particular angel that misrepresented God in character. So just remember, just as the history of the Word of God says so, our bodies has an evidence of that truth. Continuing in the endocrine glands, getting to be familiar. Now, the endocrine gland secretes their product directly into the bloodstream. Isn't that something, that the blood of Jesus contains everything we need to be able to cleanse us from every stain of sin? No matter how deep the sin is, the blood of Christ is able to remove, that we may be able to stand blameless before the God. So is this gland. All his virtue is given and sent to the bloodstream. And everybody knows that the blood is the life of the body. Continuing, bypassing the need for a duct system, that is the exocrine gland required. Just a little bit to understand what is that gland is all about. It is the gland that includes the saliva, which is the sweat glands, and the glands within the gastrointestinal tract. Do you remember when we read in the health reform when it says chew your food properly? Make sure that it's broken down in such a manner so like that saliva will be able to be mingled with it. Because it is saliva that helps to be able to not only moist the food, but make it easier for it to be able to be passing through our esophagus to make an ease so it can go down. It is the same way how in this particular system, it helps us to digest better. When our body becomes overheated, the Lord is the one responsible to cool our bodies with the sweat of our glands. Doesn't the Lord does that when the conflicts of life beats up so hot? What happened with Christ? He become that cooling, that water, to be able to bring down the temperature as he washes us burning, that burning that he allows in our life is just to be able to remove what's supposed to be removed or purify us at the same time. And also the gastrointestinal tract has the same gland secretion to be able to break down the food in such a manner that we can be able to have that food to be fed into our small intestine now to be able to use it as energy for the purpose of our nutrition. Is everybody with me, sir? Praise the Lord. Chemicals that cannot be deposited into the blood are deposited into an intestinal fluid which surrounds the gland. So what is not actually for food or the body can use, it has a destination. We will not go into that because we will be discussing that later. So the pituitary gland, in turn, what is called the master gland. So who is that representing? Our master before the throne, leading. This is Christ's ministry in heaven, a mission to redeem man by pleading before the throne, before the Father, that we may be found blameless before God. Indeed, he is our greatest healer, dear sister. Start on agreeing with you. Continuing in the reading. Because it directs other organs and the endocrine glands, such as the adrenal glands, to suppress or induce hormone production. So the function of the pituitary gland is involved in several functions of the body, including growth, which is the growth hormone production, production of hormones that act on other endocrine glands that we just discussed, the production of hormones that act on the muscle and the kidneys, the endocrine function that regulation, I don't think it's going to make me scroll down. I apologize. The slide is so big, I can't really read the bottom part, but it's for actually storage as well of the hormone, and it's produced by the hypothalamus. That is what it says in the bottom of the slide. So continuing to know the similarity between Christ, our mediator, that operates like our master gland. Christ, our high priest before the mercy seat, functions in our body like the pituitary gland. It is a small endocrine organ that controls a multitude of important functions in the body. If you want further information to be able to understand a little bit of what Christ does, you will find it in Hebrews chapter 2:17. You're also going to find reference in 7:25, 9:11, and also verses 24 to 25. Let's continue to know a little bit of the master gland. It is divided into an anterior lobe and a posterior lobe. Do you remember in the first series, for those that were acquainted with the nervous system, the nervous system, the brain has four lobes. Notice that in the pituitary gland, they have two, which is the anterior lobe and the posterior lobe, all of which are involved in the hormone production. So the posterior pituitary is composed of an axon from the neuron of the hypothalamus. Remember that the neurons are the cells in our brain. Okay? So between these connection, the blood vessel connect between the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. So the blood vessel is the one that also is the stream where all the secretion is being fed, like we was just talking about. So now we will understand how the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland, which is the two that comes together in that particular gland that we just went through on the prior slide, that the master gland looked like it has two sides. One is below the other one. So the hypothalamus works like the representation of the Holy Spirit. And the pituitary gland works on, it's like the representation of Christ, our mediator. They both work and mediate for us as we go before the throne of God and we ask God in prayer. It says that the Holy Spirit is also a mediator somehow. It tells us that he also helps us because it says that it groans as we plead before the throne. So these allow hypothalamic hormones to control the pituitary hormone secretion and control various homeostasis functions such as the body temperature, respiration, and heartbeat. Just to be able to understand a little bit of what Jesus does concerning how it does all of these beautiful virtues, go to John 15, verses 26 to 27. Now, I have to bring a picture so you could really see the how the pituitary gland, how the organ looks and also how it functions. So let's take a look at this particular slide. Here, in this area, what do we see? The stimuli from the nervous system, they are feeding the neurons. Okay? So this is what is the hypothalamic nerve cells secretion releasing hormones right into the red area is the bloodstream. And it goes straight towards, you can see that the red area is the artery, right? And then here, you're going to see the blue area that represents the vein. Now, we already know that the neurons look kind of like this. Okay? These are the ones then that are actually sending all that the pituitary is pleading before the throne, or the pituitary is asking the brain. And through the brain answering the petition, it goes through right through the master gland, and the master gland starts releasing these hormones in our body to be able to answer the plea, like the way how when we pray and we ask Christ, and as Christ plead before the throne, the Lord releases the grace, and Christ through his blood is able to send it to us as we need it. So we have the posterior area, as is shown right here, and this is the interior, the pituitary endocrine cells are right here fed in the very bottom. It's just a larger picture, so you could be able to see how they are moving. So the releasing on hormones stimulate the pituitary hormone secretion. You're going to see that these hormones basically act, like we have said in the first series of our study, like angels, the way how the angels are sent to be able to aid God's people because of salvation. So in this slide, you could really see all what happens in this particular organ, how every day Christ, like he goes before the throne and send a supply of all that we need. So in our body, there's a witness of that truth. People, the sanctuary message is one of the messages that is so lacking in today's knowledge as people. They don't have no idea why Christ is delaying. They don't have no idea why we're not home. Well, the only reason why we are not praying long enough, we are not asking for what makes Christ come down here. We are asking for everything in the outer life, but we are not asking for the inner man. And what God is sending for us is for us to be able to be man and woman of God, to continue on this work. That while we're doing the work of God, all these things will be added unto us. Seek ye the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's according to what the scripture says. So we're going all wrong about it. We have to ask Christ for virtue first. We must do the work that he has said to do. And then the Lord will give us the reward. But it's not for us to be rich. It is what our needs, not our wants, just for us to continue on to be able to help our Savior close this controversy. So we have the inhibitory and the stimulatory. Sorry for my pronunciation. Okay, so let's go back into the spirit of prophecy and the Bible, that we may be able to recognize what is an important job that Jesus is doing for us to understand what's going on in our bodies. The term of our election. Shabbat blessing, dear Sister Lynn. God bless you. Also, you will find in Hebrews chapter 7:25, it says, by his spotless life, his obedience, his death on the cross of Calvary, Christ interceded for the lost race, and now, not as a mere petitioner, does the captain of our salvation intercede for us, but as a conquering, claiming his victory. His offering is complete, and as our intercessor, he executes his self-appointed work, holding before God the censer containing his own spotless merit and the prayers, confession, thanksgiving of his people. Perfumed with the fragrance of his righteousness, the incense ascends to God as a sweet savor. The offering is wholly acceptable, and pardon covers all transgression. To the true believer, Christ is indeed the minister of the sanctuary, officiating for him in the sanctuary and speaking through God's appointed agencies. This was quoted from Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 930, paragraph 17. To understand more in a biblical to the law to the testimony, see Revelation 8, 1 and 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, 10, and Revelation 8, 3 and 4 for references. Now, to understand the personal character of Christ's intercession, we will read a little small paragraph. It says, Christ is washing. He knows all about our burdens, our dangers, our difficulties, and he fills his mouth with argument in our behalf. There's no reason to argue about what is going on with us. The most important thing is Jesus knows. And because he knows, hold on to his promise. Stand still and know he is God and he's acquainted. Here on this earth, the justice that we seek him, we're not going to find it because we have an accuser of thy brethren. The more you will do for God, the more you will be seen as wretched before the world. But there is an advocate in heaven that knows, acquainted with every step that you make. So people, keep your eyes single upon him. He knows the heart. Continuing in reading, he fits his intercession to the needs of each soul as he did in the case of Peter. Our advocate filled his mouth with argument to teach his tried, tempted ones to brace against Satan's temptation. We are not fighting against flesh, brethren. We fighting against principality in high places. He interprets every movement of the enemy. He orders the event. So the very thing that we may be fighting, it might be placed there that the Lord want to remove something we have. But we looking outside and not looking everything that is ordered. It is ordered by God. Now, a little bit of history concerning the Old Testament. What was the meaning of the service to the Jewish priesthood? We are continually reminded of the sacrifice and intercession of Christ. Remember our study in the youth meeting. Sacrifice. Can you all still hear me? Praise the Lord. Remember what we have studied today in our youth meeting concerning sacrifice. The sacrifice that is done, it is not for self. The sacrifice that was done is for the purpose of others. that they may be able to be rebuilt and to be whole in Jesus. Sacrifice that is not for the others is not considered a sacrifice. For when you do it for yourself, it's really self-pleasing. But a sacrifice is to sacrifice self for the sake of others, for the sake of others to reach to their destination in glorifying God in their walk. So Christ, when he came here, he sacrificed self that he may come to glorify his Father, that the knowledge of his Father may reach the heart of men, that they may be able to better understand their Creator and to draw closer to him. In the service of the Jewish priesthood, we are continually reminded of the sacrifice and intercession of Christ. All who come to Christ today are to remember that his merit is the incense that mingles with the prayers of those who repent of their sin and receive pardon and mercy and grace. Our need of Christ's intercession is constant. Just like in this particular picture, remember the hypothalamus secretes the hormones into the pituitary gland. The hypothalamus secretes the hormones into the pituitary gland. And then after that, the Lord will release, like the way how the gland releases his hormone, as Christ releases his virtue, that we may be strengthened, made whole, remove the impurities, to be able to keep us whole and glorifying God for the goodness that he has performed through his merit in our lives and body. So the hypothalamus and the pituitary in the brain controls normal secretion of thyroid hormones, which in turn control metabolism. This is the area of, let me just change to show you. This area right here is going to be a pretty beautiful analogy of the altar of incense. But you see how this particular gland, it is basically wrapped around. Let me just move it a little bit so it won't be on the gland itself. It actually wrapped around. That is the area where all the thyroid hormones, this gland, is covering right before the altar of incense where the prayers are. So just imagine, not only do you have Christ mediating for us and the Holy Spirit groaning for us, you have the angel waiting for the petition of our Savior to execute, to help us here to be able to continue on in this walk. Don't feel so helpless in your conflict. You have the universe on your side. If you confess your sin, if you make it right with God, if you be able to surrender all to him that he may release his virtue to you to be able to overcome and become a sharer of salvation. Okay, we are in slide number 14. So Christ is a symbol of our master gland, as we had just discussed. So the master gland is telling us how we truly should fix our eyes upon our advocate. In all our acts of true devotion, we fix our eyes of faith upon our advocate, who is standing between man and the eternal throne, waiting to meet our every effort, and by his spirit assist us to a more perfect knowledge of God. And this is taken from Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 948. And this is the 8th paragraph. And just a little bit of reference concerning Christ's perpetual intercession. The incense ascending with the prayer of Israel represents the merit and intercession of Christ. His perfect righteousness with true faith is imputed to his people, and which can alone make the worship of sinful being acceptable to God. Without Christ's righteousness imputed in us, we could not become righteous or stand before a holy God blameless. Before the veil, continuing the reading, of the most holy place was an altar of perpetual intercession. Before the holy, an altar of continual atonement, by blood and by incense, God was to be approached. So we only can approach God by the blood of Christ and by Christ's righteousness, which is his merit. Symbols pointed to the great mediator through whom sinners may approach Jehovah and through whom alone merit and salvation can be granted to the repentant believing soul. So even today when we hear that once saved, always saved, they're walking around saved, there is no way that they can be saved without the merit and the righteousness of our Redeemer. That is what makes you blameless. That is what makes you righteous. And no one with a naked eye can be able to see the righteousness of Christ upon the human being. And they even have an appointed time as well for that to do so. So, brethren, study to show yourself approved unto God. Don't let anybody tell you any different. To the law and to the testimony. Continuing, Jesus made a high priest. So now we can see in this picture how all the organs that the Lord is ministering for as a symbol, as the master gland is ministering to, as the secretion goes down with hormones to be able to tend to all these different systems of the body, it is just tending and answering for all that they had pleaded for. But only through repentance, remember, only through Christ's righteousness can we receive his virtue. Only through the faith, like that woman that had the issue of blood, just by the faith of touching justice garment, it says that the virtue were not of him, because there were so much people actually so close to him. They basically was actually all over him, and yet only one person, by the faith that she had and the one that could restore her, his virtue was taken from him and was given to her and restore her from such a long burden of years with the issue of blood. So just like that, our Savior is going to do when we do what he asks, bring all things to him, leave it at his feet. He's the only one can restore, rebuild, and make whole. Our brothers and sisters will share our burden, but they cannot remove or make us whole or make us a new creature, modify our minds. The only one that can do that is Jesus. That's why we will fall short. It says to bear one another. Yes, bear one another's burden, but they cannot remove that burden from us. The only one that can do that is the bearer, which is the only one that can remove those things, is the only one that defeated Satan, is the only one that Satan trembled before as his presence is there. So, reading from Hebrews chapter 6:20, it says, Whither the forerunner is for us enter, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we're going to discuss about the secretion of these hormones. And I found something that was so, to me, in my spirit. I believe that these are the things that the Lord wanted to give his church as a way to be able to edify and to be able to be well equipped for the purpose of giving this gospel. The pituitary, or the master gland, secretes 9 major hormones, like we just discussed earlier. 7 from his large frontal lobe and 2 from his small lobe. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 10, it gives us some beautiful gifts that the Lord is going to give the body of believer for the purpose of his work. And it reads, for to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Please, dear brethren, this is not about the tongues, that is the movements of Pentecostalism. We already know what this tongue is all about, because the Lord is not a God of confusion. So please, do your personal study to be able to understand, for the whole world is wrapped around this deception. Now, to continue to understand what is the interior pituitary gland, which is it produces seven hormones, we will see this particular secretion as the representation of the seven spirits sent to the churches. Okay? Now, Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 2 talks about pillars. As I was studying these particular spirits, I started to see that it was saying something, and I didn't get to see that until when I saw the seven pillars of our faith. The first one is the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. That is what the anterior pituitary gland secretes, seven hormones. Now, the posterior pituitary produces two hormones, and it's like a representation of the two gifts from the glory of God. But don't forget that the master gland is receiving all of these hormones from the brain. So God is the one that is giving the gift, but we cannot receive that gift only through Christ. So that's why the gift is given to the Lord, and the Lord will give it according to the faith of their measure. Remember what it says in the scripture that Christ had actually gave faith, gift according to the measure of their faith? So Christ is the one that distributes according to the measure of faith. And remember, faith coming by hearing the word of God. But it's not faith alone. It has to be mixed with works. So faith and works together, and as they work together for the glory of God, it will stimulate our Savior to secrete, to give his virtue, to continue on in this plan of salvation. So from glory to glory, but we all, with open face, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That is taken from 2 Corinthians 3:18. Am I going too fast, dear brethren? Anybody you need now, praise the Lord. Forgive me, I'm not really looking at the text on the side. So, if it's possible, all those things that was placed on the text, if they have questions, can you please leave it at the end that I can be able to give you the attention that is needed for these information, okay? So, continuing, I was looking at Ephesians chapter 4:13, when it says that, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Do you really notice something today? I don't know what Elder Rob is going to preach. I know about the children's story because of the preparation. And basically when the sermons are being prepared, we are just moving by inspiration what the Lord wants us to present. But as you can see, what were we speaking about today and what was it shared with us in the meeting? Unity. See how unity is only obtained by Christ only. And how that unity is obtained? Till we are come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you see, the unity is obtained when Christ, the faith, is joined with the work, that by knowing the knowledge of He that working in us, and if we by faith hold on to His merit, only through His merit we can become that perfect man. And let us grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. So if we are failing in this, it's because Christ is not all in all in our lives. We are still holding on to why these things them are so. Not understanding that He ordered these things, brethren. Everything that He ordered, as He ordered the three evil boys when they walked into that flame, they saw it as, if this is the will of God, they went in. Because the only one that can stand for them or intervene is the very one they were standing for, and they had faith in. Whatever it is, Lord, let it be for Your glory. So as they was given their life as a sacrifice, when they was willing to die, they found life. For there was already a fire in their heart, burning, that didn't make them have the penalty of the design that the devil has in store for them, was to eliminate them from this earth. But the Lord was the one that was in the midst of that fire. So just remember, God order all things. And if He order all things, don't murmur and complain what instrumentalities that He's going to use in your life for your own salvation. Ask the Lord to give you the strength. Ask Him to give you all powers to be able to fight against the force of the enemy. But He was a forerunner. He came here. He lived our life in this flesh. And He showed us how He overcome. He hold on to divine nature that He may be able to strengthen His spirit in His fleshly body. Anybody tell you any different? They are removing your plan of salvation. Because He showed us that it could be possible only through divine nature. By holding on to His Father, He overcome. We now, by holding on to Jesus, we are going to be overcomers. Flesh cannot hold anything, for flesh is the one that is in judgment. Be obedient and take your flesh. Walk the path of our Savior. Take the destination. Crucify it. Continuing. So the anterior pituitary produces seven hormones, as we have just discussed. It's a representation, the only thing in the Bible. Seven spirits of Christ sent to the churches. Nothing else can fit it, because Christ is the mediator. Christ is the one that gives virtue. In the seven churches, you're going to see that Christ is the one that was giving the seven churches everything that was needed for every history of the era of the Christian, Christendom. So he's the one that has the perfection. We are the one that are basically lacking that righteousness. So there's a scripture that was very powerful to me. In Proverbs chapter 9:1, it says, wisdom has built her house. She had hewed out her seven pillars. Now, we have seven pillars of our faith. If our virgin do not understand how important these pillars are, these are the pillars that make Satan tremble. Because this brings down the curtain of all the deception that he has actually made this world to believe and to hide our Savior. So, the seven spirit that is in Isaiah, where it says, the seven spirit of Christ sent out to seal us, it is like the seven pillars of our faith. When it says, number one, the Spirit of Lord, what the first angel's message is telling us. I know for all of those that have been baptized and those that are learning about the message of the movement of the remnant for the second coming of Christ, you know what that first angel's message says. and the spirit of wisdom. Second angel's message. Go ahead. Read it. Study for yourself. It is our wisdom. And the spirit of understanding. The sanctuary message tell us. And make us understand the plan of salvation. The spirit of counsel. Christ, our high priest, is the only one that truly knows what we need. Counsel with him. Go to him. Read the pillar about Christ, our high priest, what we are discussing here. But don't take my word or don't take what you just saw. Go in for yourself. Prove God. Go to him and see how is it that it is a counsel. The spirit of might, the third angel's message, that we must go out and give this message, which is basically connected to Revelation 18, which is the message of mercy. It is with power. It's supposed to swell to the latter, to make actually the latter rain to be poured out upon us, to a loud cry, to be able to make the glory of the Lord be seen in this world. The spirit of knowledge. If people don't understand the Sabbath truth, they will not understand who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is that door. He is the one to be able to open the knowledge of what the Sabbath is all about. So it's very important when you sharing the Sabbath with other people, you are giving them knowledge to understand wisdom later. But the wisdom is to understand why the Sabbath was very important and why the devil hates so much. The last one is the spirit of fear of the Lord. We know the whole world right now is plunging into the dead can speak and the dead can talk and the dead can do. We are seeing in this generation the heavy darkness of spiritualism. So what spirit that the Lord had given to his church so we can stand clear of this deception? The non-immortality of the soul or the state of the dead. If you don't remember, go back to our pillars. And the reason why I call them pillars, right where the actual prayers in our body as a symbol of the altar of incense, and where the adrenal gland are basically covering, guarding that particular altar. Behind it, there are seven cervical bones. And they actually are seven. They stand right behind it because that is the pillar. That is the ladder that is going to take us before the Father. So that's why in my personal study, there was nothing else to fit that. The Lord showed over and again that he is the perfection of his people. And just like he guarded the children of Israel in the wilderness, he gave them commandment. He also gave them statutes and judgment. He's doing the same thing in this generation, brethren. We don't have no time to find out what this sister's doing and what this sister's doing. What are you doing? What are you doing? What is it that you're doing? Who are you exalting? Who are you representing? What is your commission? What is your talent? If you don't know, go to him that as you touch the hem of his garment, that he may release his virtue. Go to work. As you work, all the things that you're worried about, it's going to be given in due time. Who is the greatest example? Jesus. He didn't have a job the way how we have a job, but yet he lacked nothing. Everything he had to do was supplied for him. Even when he wanted to do the supper, he sent his disciple into a city. And he told them they was going to find a man with a pitcher. And tell them that the master was ready. We have brethren all over this world that have been given commission to do the work. And they're waiting for those that need to go to God and ask him, what is my purpose? Everybody's looking outside to see how they're going to live their life. You don't have no life outside of Christ. All your blessing coming from above. Every good gift, every perfect gift coming from above. Didn't we just saw how the gland in our body testify that His virtue is where the gift for every individual. I found this in Job 32:7-9 just last night, and the Lord impressed me to place it in there. I said, days shall speak, a multitude of years should teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giving them understanding. Sorry for the typo. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Only God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, has the wisdom of what we must do. When Job was being afflicted, everybody came with their opinion, saying what they thought he was going through. And while they were criticizing them, and while they were trying to find some reason why His blessed hand was upon Job, God had to do that. It's so sad that for the good of many, His children is afflicted for the bad to open their eyes. But we find it as an honor to do so. For if our Savior was stricken, that all of us are healed, who we are to say we should not partake of that as well? Are we a co-laborers with Jesus? If we are, for us to truly understand His walk, we also have to carry that burden. People doesn't understand sometimes when you are sent to do something. Don't forget, we are just messengers. The one that does the rebuking, the one that does the healing, the one that does the cleansing, it is Jesus still working in His people. Man cannot restore no man. No man can claim Jesus unless Jesus opened His mouth. It says that before the throne of God in judgment, even the wicked gonna glorify God. Does that mean that they accepted God? Does that mean that they're gonna make it? Even God allowed the wicked to proclaim His name. Continuing, 2 Corinthians 3:18. From glory to glory, imputed by the Father through the Holy Ghost, be holy unto His godliness. So the posterior pituitary produces two hormones. We just talked about the seven hormones. Now we're going towards the two hormones. It's the only representation of the two gifts that God gives. The glory of God sent to seal us. What is that? The power of will to choose, and the power to become sons and daughters. We can't become sons and daughters of God if we don't yield our will to God. We must surrender to God that He may be able to give His Son, that He may give us His virtue. Christ is the one that keeping the body. Just the same way how that pituitary gland, as much as it seems to the world to be insignificant, the master gland, the work that has to be done, it has not reached to the heart of man, because bad people are so busy looking at every major event, and the most important has been ignored. His glory, the righteousness only by His merit alone, His grace, the godliness with the power of will to become sons and daughters, imparted by the Son for our justification and be sanctified through His sanctification, blood and His word. Is everybody still with the study? Am I going too fast? Do I need to stop? Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 3 to 7 and 11, it reads, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, called Jesus, accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit." How could it be divided when the one Spirit is the one teaching? How could it be division when one Spirit is the one giving the gift? How could that be? The only reason why not everybody's under the same Spirit, brethren. Test the Spirit, Lord said. Because Satan is not going to proclaim Jesus in this world. Only one that has been tried and pick up his cross and follow Jesus can be able to talk about Jesus. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. That means whatever commission that the Lord has sent you, and it is the same Spirit. You just have different jobs, but it's the same Lord that is directing that commission, that gift. Those virtues is given by one. And there are diversity of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But all these work that one and the same, the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we're going to continue to discuss about Christ's mediation service. We're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but there is these different, it's still hormones, but they have other jobs. And these are called tropics. The word tropic comes from a Greek word meaning turning and refer to the ability of tropic hormones to turn on or stimulate other endocrine glands. So they represent divine power in the plan of salvation for us. And what are those four working like the tropics? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All of them is given by Christ. All of them, it is the virtue and the power of God that give these things. All of their references is right next to each other. Wisdom, we just found out how wisdom is obtained. Proverbs 8:1. Righteousness, I seen in Proverbs 12:28. Sanctification, John 17:17, the cry that has been spoken for the whole day, how sanctification is done. Sanctify me to thy truth, God said, for thy word is true. For the word is the only thing that can sanctify man's heart and can be able to modify his mind, that they can be able to be new creatures in Christ. Sanctification also has a work. And it has a word in redemption. The word of God is not only to be read. It's not only to just look at. It's to be able to read, come into understanding through pleading with God, to put it to use and practice in our life, as we have just learned in this youth study where it says, we cannot be Christian just by name. We cannot be Christian just by listeners. We have to be Christian by the doer of the very word that has convicted our heart. That's what proves that those things them are true, because we becoming witness of the truth. The disciple did their work. Our dear sister White did her work. Her work continued. She's at rest, but her work continued. The word of God. When are we going to be able to be a witness of that truth? Why we are not witness? For we are not putting it to practical use. And the only way we can apply that It is the word is Jesus. And Jesus is the only one that can make a body come alive. He's the one. He's the resurrection of our lives. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, oh, there is two hormones that are called gonadotrophins. This is going to be discussed in the second part of our study. But it has to be mentioned in this particular slide because we're talking about all the hormones. So continuing to understand Jesus' work, in 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:19 says, wherefore then, serve the law. It's a question. Serve the law. It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. All the reading, all the analogy concerning the master gland and Jesus' work, it was for the pituitary gland and one of the lobes of the organ of that particular gland. Now we are going to the second part, that is the hypothalamus in our body. It works very similar to the Holy Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit works hand in hand with Christ, just like the blood and the oxygen is the one that works hand in hand to be able to not only breathe the life, but Jesus also is the life. The blood is the life of the body. The oxygen is the breath of life. And they work together. And they work together as they push on to all the organs, bringing the actual food. For that's why Sister White in the health message say, work on your health and your diet to have pure blood. For blood is what gonna make the body well. That's the purpose of the quality of food. That's the purpose of exercising all the different things that the Lord had given to the health reform. For the children of God also in the Old Testament was given also a health reform. So anyone in God's path is given not only for the restoration of spirit, but also of body. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is the breath of spiritual life in the soul. The impartation of the Spirit is the impartation of the life of Christ. So you see how the hypothalamus is the one that sends the hormones, and it goes down to where the pituitary gland is, which is the way of the administration of Christ, and that's how he secretes all of the hormones throughout the body, as Christ's virtue is also given to his people. They work together in harmony. So, continuing, it imbues the receiver with the attributes of Christ. Only those who are thus taught of God, those who possess the inward working of the Spirit, and in whose life Christ's life is manifested. Remember what we read today. In whom Christ's life is manifested, are to stand as what? As a representative man to minister in behalf of the church. Whosoever sin ye remit, say Christ, they are remitted. And whosoever sin ye retain, they are retained. Christ here gives no liberty, again brother, no liberty for any man to pass judgment upon others. You are placing yourself in the place of a righteousness. It's the only one. He that is blameless is the only one that can judge. For all of us are transgressors of God's law. That's why we must bring the sin to who that can justify us. When we take our sins and go to other brothers with it, you are actually committing blasphemy. Because sin is supposed to go to the sin bearer to be able to, in the place, give you the blood to cover you. But if you go into man, you know what you're going to get? Flesh. And who you glorifying? Satan. You just expose your brethren to sin. Because in our nature, we are critic. We judge. We always find a way to be able to put ourselves above others. That's why we must come to God. He's the only one that can and will. Continuing in the reading, in the Sermon of the Mount, he forbade this. It is the prerogative of God. What is it? Prerogative of God. But on the church, in its organized capacity, he places a responsibility for the individual members. To all those who fall into sin, the church has a duty to warn, to instruct, and if possible, to restore, reprove, exhort. The Lord said, with all long-suffering and doctrine. But remember, this particular office, the Lord said, restore such a man in the meekness of Christ. Christ is the one that is restoring that man. It is not flesh. It is not man. Even that individual that has been placed in the position to hear the brother or to be able to, that belongs to God's altar. It don't belong to you to do what you think is supposed to be done. You put in yourself in the position of God. And let's realize, it says, organized capacity. He places a responsibility for the individual members. Galatians 6 says, if you see a brother in a fault, restore such a one in the meekness of Christ. Put on Christ. Christ will do the work. Put on self and flesh. It will become a rumor and a gossip and a tail-bearing and a tearing down of the body of believers and of the kingdom of Christ that is done with so much blood that has been spilled by forerunners and also those that are asleep in Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:2, deal faithfully with wrongdoing. Warn every soul that is in danger. Leave none to deceive themselves. Call sin by its right name. Declare what God has said in regard to lying, Sabbath breaking, stealing, idolatry, and every other evil, which is the 10th commandment. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:21 says, if they persist in sin, the judgment you have declared from God's word is pronounced upon them in heaven. Where the judgment came? From God's word. Who is judging? The word of God. What we transgress? The 10 commandments. Who did we transgress against? The Father. Who is our restorer? Christ. Who's the only one that can restore us? Jesus. With what power? The power of the Holy Ghost. In choosing to sin, they disown Christ. The church must show that she does not sanction their deeds, or she herself dishonor her Lord. She must say about sin what God says about sin. She must deal with it as God directs, and her action is rectified in heaven. He who despises the authority of the church despises the authority of Christ himself. Don't forget what we just read. Everything that proclaims, everything that be able to proclaim Christ, it gotta be Christ. Continuing, but there is a brighter side to the picture. Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted. Let this thought be kept uppermost. In labor for the erring, let every eye be directed to Christ. Let the shepherds have a tender care for the flock of the Lord's pasture. Let them speak to the erring of the forgiven mercy of the Savior. Let them encourage the sinner to repent and believe in him who can pardon. Let them declare on the authority of God's word. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Reference 1 John 1:9. And all who repent have the assurance. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Reference Micah 7:19. Let the repentance of the sinner be accepted by the church with grateful hearts. Let the repentant one be led out from the darkness of unbelief into the light of faith and righteousness. Let his trembling hand be placed in the loving hand of Jesus, such as remission is rectified in heaven. The ending of this paragraph, Desire Ages, pages 805 to 806, ends with, only in this sense has the church power to absolve the sinner. Remission of sin can be obtained only through the merits of Christ. To no man, to no body of man, is given power to free the soul from guilt. Christ charged to his disciple to preach the remission of sin in his name among all nations. But they themselves are not, empowered to remove one stain of sin. The name of Jesus is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, dear brethren, in this particular slide, we know what is the power that is behind this master gland of how he aids all the different organs, all the system of the body. Like I will just to make it understandable, all the tribes that the Lord has put his people into, all that what they need, all is coming from one source. And the source is God through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to his people. And there is a witness in our body that was made. The Lord said, let us make man in our image. This is why he said, let us make man in our image. Everything in this body, in this tabernacle, it is for the glory of God. What we do with it, how we handle it, how we abuse it, how we actually do not take care of it, we are injuring the very creator, the creators of this tabernacle, not preparing it for what that body is supposed to do, glorify God. In this picture, all these little things that we're going to learn in the next part or part two of the study, all these little initials next to each one of these organs, not only you're going to get to understand what is this important, because it's basically the hormones that are actually fed to each one of these organs, you're going to also see how when Sister Y in the health reform, it's not only food but also the controlling of passion, the controlling of all the different things that our first parents had actually put in the hands of Satan. All the things then that they actually went through is the very thing that we have to give to God, that Christ will be the one controlling it, and we can actually submit those tendencies to Christ. This is how the pituitary is the one responsible for those virtues. Okay? So, this is just a picture, just to be able to let us understand the work that is done in our mediation. As the hypothesis is constantly in operation, every day, giving the hormones all of what is needed in the body, supplying all of the help, like the virtue of Christ, supplying all the bodies of believers, what is it that is needed to overcome all that is ailing our life as Christian and in our anatomy as well. So we will be discussing the details of what the thyroid hormones does and how it works in the next part of our study. So here it's just telling you how they are constantly in connection. Christ's mediation, the altar of incense, the angels giving the order as it's receiving from the brain, as the law of God is fed, and the righteousness of Christ is given to glorify the commandment, but also bring us closer to God. That is the same work that we will see in the primary hypothyroidism. The thyroid cannot produce amount of hormones to the pituitary called for, and it's just telling you how they're going to be functioning, okay? So this is just a picture, so you could have an idea how these two organs work the way how Christ worked also, receiving all the prayers upon that altar, okay? So we have come to the end of our study. Next week, we will continue with part two of our lesson, the endocrine system that operates and functions like the tribe of Asher. You know, when it says that his foot was dipped in oil, as you can really see, the oil is a representation of, remember the oil lamp that we had discussed, that our dear brother Sean had actually shared with us, with the what are the oil that was supposed to be trimmed by the actual wise virgin. Well, the tribe of Asher was actually placed on oil because of the blessings and the virtue of the two members of the Godhead to be able to make us walk and become children. Asher shall be blessed with children. It's just telling us how important all of these things are and how it refers to only the glory of God. So the veil to the most holy place is going to begin our study next week, continuing to the altar of incense. So the body of Christ is the door. The Lord said, I am the door. That will be found in John 10:7. So his life is the way to holiness. So God bless everyone. Hope and pray that all was blessed. Now it will be open for any questions.
Have a blessings, everyone. Now my question to you, Sister Rose, is this. I was wondering, you was talking about every organ in the body. I'm just wondering if every organ has something to do with the sanctuary. If so, can you explain or can you show us the sanctuary that connect with the organs that you are talking about? Thank you.
Okay. Did you remember the first series, which is of the brain, at the very ending of the second part of that study? It had a slide with the chart where it says, when the sanctuary was actually tabernacle in the wilderness, the sanctuary was in the center, and then you see all the tribes that were actually located right around it. Each tribe, which is the 12 tribes of Israel, the way how they were placed in the wilderness, is the same way how the brain basically functions in our anatomy. That's exactly the way how it's set up. And each tribe is a representation of one of the system of the organ operating in that same manner. So in other words, each tribe basically is one of, you see, Christ's nature, when he was actually given the message where it says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, if you really do a close study, you're going to notice that he basically was talking to 12. And those 12 that he was speaking about, he was just saying what he is in each one of them. So each tribe or each organ has a connection with what the sanctuary message is all about. Remember, the sanctuary, what it is Christ himself. It was a type of that tabernacle, that sanctuary that came from above, and tabernacle himself among man was the object of the whole plan of salvation. This, all the tribe was around it because we must pay close attention to the one that it is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the center, that tabernacle. He was the tabernacle, that tabernacle himself here, but he is our sanctuary as well. We have to go through him so we can be sanctified, we can be justified, and we can come to holiness. So that's how the sanctuary is connected to the tribes, and that's how our brain is connected to all the body system and how it receives all the messages so it can be able to make man behold and could be a living mechanism that we can live. I hope maybe I didn't confuse you, but if you go back in that particular series, which is series one, look and see that it has a chart that has all the 12 systems of the body. And each system, right above it, it talks about that system showing the similarity of that particular tribe. Okay?
Okay, thank you. But I guess I understand, but I was saying that every organ has a place in the sanctuary. I'm not sure if I'm understanding, but if you understand me, but that's how I look at it. Every organ have a place in the sanctuary. But explain if you can.
Yes, it does, dear sister. Thank you. I think Elder Rob had brought it up. Okay, sister, can you see this particular slide? This part is the sanctuary, okay? This was the copy, or what you call the type. Christ is the anti-type. It giving you the similarity that how the actual sanctuary, which is, it was a tabernacle at that time, because it was movable, and how all the tribes needed to cleanse themselves through this tabernacle. But we know that was just a type of what was the true cleansing, which was Jesus. Okay? Now, do you see all the different systems of the body? Each one right above is going to show how they encamped in this wilderness. You see down here, you see the muscular system. You see Asher? I'm gonna just use this one. Okay. Here is Dan, muscular system at the time, because you're gonna see there is gonna be a little story about how Dan, we did spoke about it the other time, why Dan did not actually, develop the character at the end. But anyway, he was moved and Levi took this position, but remember the Levites used to live inside of the tabernacle, but now Christ has been placed back in his rightful place, and then the guardians of the tabernacle was the one that was replacing that particular one. So you're gonna understand why the muscle is a representation of the Levites. Then you have Asher, which is the endocrine, what we just studied, and then you have Naphtali, which is the integumentary system, which is the skin. Okay, and then you have Judah, which this is the study that we are actually talking about. It is the nervous system, which is the brain. And then you have, my son always tell me to pronounce this properly, Issachar, which is the skeleton system. And then you have Zebulun, which is the lymphatic system. And then you have Reuben, which is the cardiovascular system, which is the heart. You know, excuse for all the way how the wordings are, because it wasn't meant to fit this room. And then you have Simeon, which is the respiratory system. And then you have Gad, which is the urinary system. And then you have the two half-tribe, which is Manasseh, the female reproductive system, and Ephraim, the male reproductive system. And then you have Benjamin, which is the digestive system. Do you see now how the tribes connected to the tabernacle, which is the sanctuary, movable, and how the system of the body also is in the same place, how the brain gives the message to each system, like the tabernacle have the Ten Commandments that give the message to the tribe how so they can be able to live their life. Okay? See the encampment of the tribe of Israel? So you're going to find all of the names, how they are actually mentioned in each one of the tribe in Revelation as well. So take your time, study, search it for yourself. The only thing you're doing is not putting anything or adding anything. You're using what God created, not only in man, but also what he created and gave it to Moses, and just the great similarity of how God works, not only in the plan of salvation, but also in the system of our anatomy as well. I hope and pray that that answers your question, dear sister.
You're welcome, dear sister, and thank you so much for sharing what the Lord has revealed to you. Let us go ahead and close out the service, and then in our after service, if there's any further questions or comments or anything else that you would like to share, such as singing or testimonies, please feel free to do so. Our closing song for today's service is entitled, Our God is Able. And the lyrics are found at lightministries.com/ID244.htm. And I went ahead and put it here into the room. So, Our God is Able.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There are times when you feel like hope is gone. That's when you need Jesus to help you carry on. He will hear you when you call. He will lift you when you fall. And he's able to do
ordinary, and he can do
what no one else can do. Oh, God is able to do the impossible. Our God is able to do what no one else can do. Ooh, He is supernatural. He can do the extraordinary, and He can do what no one else can do, and He can do what no one else can do.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. I ask you to please kneel and bow your heads for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love. We thank you for being in control of all things. And Father, we willingly give you control of our mind, body, soul, and strength. Please take control. Lead and guide us. Continue to work through us until self is not just crucified, but it is dead. And please grant us the courage, the strength, and the ability to not resurrect it in us, but instead to allow Christ to always have the throne of our hearts, to always rule as the master of our being. And we thank you so very much for showing us all of this through how you created us. I pray that you'll be with us now. Continue to lead and guide us. Continue to bless us in the remaining part of the Sabbath. And please, Father, continue to pour your Spirit out upon us, that we might indeed, by beholding you, become more and more changed throughout this coming week and every day of the rest of our lives, and truly become your sons and daughters. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, and for being with us and continuing to dwell with us, and us with you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So, dear ones, are there any thoughts or any other questions, comments that you'd like to ask Sister Rose? Are there any other songs or testimonies that you'd like to sing? Please feel free to do so in our after-church service.
For anyone, especially the sisters, if you have any question concerning like the study and just to be able with patience to explain, on Monday meetings as we get together, I will make myself available either early or even after, just at least for an hour. You can come in, and if the by the Lord's strength and Elder Rod's permission, to be able to bring up the slide and just with more calm one-on-one or, you know, group. If you want to have a little bit more of understanding, you can ask any question. Just in case, if either you're shy to be able to come in to the mic and ask, you could use the Monday meeting after when we finished the recipe with our dear sister Michelle, or even we could take that space whenever our dear sister Michelle is not able to share the juicing. We can take that time to be able to go in a little bit with the sanctuary, because it's still talking to make us be more knowledgeable concerning our body with the health reform, okay?
Oh, praise the living God, and what a really meaty and beautiful study that this was, going through the whole hyperthyroid area, but what really struck on me, dear sister, is that the pituitary gland releases these different hormones, nine different ones, if I'm not mistaken. And what struck me also is that the pituitary gland is representing Christ. Am I correct in that? Who sends these commands out to the whole body. And what's impressed upon me is that all these different channels that the commander-in-chief, the captain of the host, sends out to the whole body, and we can look, you know, as a whole, but more importantly, individually. That's why it's very important that we keep ourselves holy before the Lord in all things, coming before Him every day, and not just every day, but every moment of the day, in every trial or tribulation, in every little tiny difficult way, to be so totally and thoroughly consumed with Him so that the pituitary gland can release those hormones effectively throughout our bodies. If we hold on to something, stubbornness, pride, coveting a particular sin, resentment, anything like that, when the Holy Spirit is bringing to our attention that there are things to be worked on, lack of prayer, lack of study time, not really making an effort to witness about your Lord and Savior, it's pressed upon me that these channels get blocked. And He cannot give you all these different benefits and gifts. He cannot release them in the fullness that He wants to, because it seems very clear to me that He really wants to. He really wants to release all of these beautiful different types of gifts according to His purpose, not according to what we think we should have, according as the Holy Spirit gives diversely. But still, that pituitary gland, our captain of the host, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still pouring throughout our body all the benefits that are necessary to keep our body, amen, virtuous, so that we are actually living temples of the Lord. So it's very, very important. It just struck me so much as I kept looking over it. I'm like, wow, this is really deep. Because from that one pituitary gland comes these important hormones that, if they're off by ever so much here or there, they cause a problem in the body. Whether it be the liver or the kidneys or the lungs or the heart, it will cause a problem if it's not functioning properly, if they're not getting the hormones that they need. So I just struck me like it's really important that we stay before the Lord and be honest and clear and clean with Him in all things. Even if we're frustrated about something, it's better off just to say, Lord, you know, this frustrates me. It's really bothering me. Why do I have to keep going through this? Be honest. He already knows how you feel. So you might as well talk to Him like a friend, because He is your best friend, better than any friend you will ever have. So you might as well just talk to Him real. Be honest with Him. It's really much more better. I have learned to find that it really is a sweeter walk. Just letting Him know, okay, Lord, you know, I'm tired of eating this kind of food. Because to share with you, you know, where I'm at, the food is not always the best. Much times it's not. And it's not exactly very nutritious, but God has been able to provide me here and there. But I share it with Him very openly, Lord, not again, please. But this kind of walk I have found brings me closer to Him and keeps me very sincere with Him and allows me to be able to hear Him when He's talking. And I know when I'm being stubborn, because the Holy Spirit will let me know you're being stubborn. And I will say, yes, I know I am being stubborn. Help me with that. Because I really don't want to be stubborn, but I'm being stubborn in this one. So, dear ones, I praise the living God. This is a beautiful study. And that little piece right there is what struck me. But I know that for many of you others, there's other beautiful truths that have been unfolded to you. And please, open it up and share it and ask the questions, because we are all in need to understand that too. Thank you, dear Sister Rose.
Bless you, Sabbath, everyone. I have a question. Elder Rose, before sin, you could say that man, God lived within man?
I would say that before sin, the communication between Adam and Eve and God was unbroken. But Adam and Eve had the freedom of choice to keep that connection unbroken or to break it by disobedience. And sadly, they chose to break it. So when Adam and Eve fell into sin, that connection with God was broken. And the only way to regain that connection was through Jesus Christ, becoming both human and God. And thus, through him, we now have that connection mended. But to say that before sin, God was dwelling in mankind, I don't know that I could agree with, because if that was true, then Adam and Eve would have never committed sin. But they had a choice to remain connected with God or to break the connection with God. And sadly, they chose to break it. So now, today, we have the choice to remain broken away from God in connection, or to reconnect ourselves with God through Jesus Christ. So that's how I would explain it. But are there any other ideas on this particular, how to answer this particular question?
I don't know, dear sister, if you meant concerning that, because in Genesis it tells you that when they have sinned, he said, my spirit shall not dwell with man, for he has became flesh. See, what was lost was the spirit of God. That spirit of God is what kept them in harmony with them. They wasn't no longer obedient to his commandment. By breaking the law, there was a partition. There was a separation between man and God. That's why through the power of Christ, we are able to regain that spirit. That spirit, it is what Christ's spirit that is. I don't know, Elder Rob, you tell me if, you know, this is just based on what I read in Genesis and how the Lord through Christ is reconnecting again that spirit or that harmony that we had with the Creator before sin. Because when sin came into the world, it was a separation. It was that gulf that separated God, Creator, and man. Christ became that bridge. He's the one that, because if we give ourselves to Christ through repentance of sin and crucifying our flesh, the Spirit of Christ is given to us, and that Spirit brings the adaptation back to the Father, to call him again, Abba Father. For now we can regain the Spirit again through Christ, that harmony, that connection we have with God. And maybe when it comes to the Spirit of God used to dwell in man, according to what Genesis says, it says before sin they had harmony with God, but after sin there was a separation and Christ was the one that was able to reconnect.
Yeah, my question was that what I was getting to is that now we have the sanctuary message that tells us that God wants to dwell within us, not, you know, in the time past in the Old Testament, he used to walk side and side with us like it would be a pillow, a cloud of pillow out in the day and a fire pillow in the night. So now in this time, correct me if I'm wrong, but now the Lord want to indwell in us, is want to be able to be in us. So I don't know.
Well, remember that the whole purpose of the sanctuary is to be able to go back to what used to govern man. When the Lord want to tabernacle himself instead of man, the Lord is going to be the ruler of that being. What happened is that because of sin, man is ruling himself by flesh, and flesh is ruled by Satan. So therefore, they are not actually guided by God. And because they're not guided by God, this is the reason why they have to be a renewness of mind and a renewness of life and a renewness. It is basically we are going back to place ourselves to be a tabernacle for the government of God to once more govern in our being. Elder Rav, if it's not correct, please correct. But this is what I have learned.
I pray that I'm understanding correctly, dear Sister Gina. And I am very much led to believe that it is a different walk that man has now through Christ Jesus. And I was trying to pull the scripture up, but I couldn't locate it right away, concerning how the Lord also said that, even in giving us reference to the Holy Spirit, that was with them at the time and would soon be in them. So even though the disciples themselves, and also in reference to the law of God, that the Lord desired to write in our hearts, and that he desired to dwell not just amongst us, but in us. It is a different relationship now, by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, that we will be walking in. Unlike what Adam and Eve had at that time, the Lord dwelt among them, and they were covered with his righteousness and his glory at that time. But there was no indwelling of the Holy Spirit as we experience now through Christ Jesus. We are becoming, if we are obedient and we are truly working out our salvation with fear and trembling, allowing the Holy Spirit to truly sanctify and consecrate us through Jesus Christ, we are preparing our bodies to be a temple of the Lord, that he may dwell in us. So, yes, I believe very much so. And like I said, I wish I would have grabbed those scriptures quick enough, and I pray you forgive me for fumbling with that. But I believe that there is sound enough scripture to make it clear that the Lord desires to not just dwell among man, but to dwell in man, which changed the way in which God dwelt with Adam and Eve at that time. So the Lord is desiring to live in us, walk in us, move in us. But he cannot do that if we do not prepare a temple for him to dwell in. And if he is not living in us, dwelling in us, amen, through the Holy Spirit, if he is not doing that through the Holy Spirit, then we have no part of him. We cannot enter into the kingdom without Christ's righteousness. We cannot enter in. So we have to understand that, yes, dear sister, you're right, that it is a different type of walk. And this is the abundance of the grace that is being bestowed through Christ Jesus in salvation through him. This is how much higher man has been elevated from the fall. It is so exceedingly high that my tiny little brain cannot comprehend it. The height to where God is raising us to be so close and so intimate with him. It's mind-blowing. So I praise the living God for such a beautifully sweet and intimate relationship like that. Amen, dear Sister Rose. We must be holy as he is holy. And it truly is only by Christ's merit. There is nothing that we can do. We can repent, confess our sins, and yield ourselves to the moving of the Holy Spirit, and let the word of Christ become flesh in us, so that we're no longer the ones that are saying, it's me, me, me. No, but it's Jesus, Jesus all the time. That's what it has to get to, at least my understanding.
Elder Rob and Rose and Brother Joel, I have another question. The question is that before Satan fell, did that the same spirit was in Satan before he fell? And then he said that the Bible said that iniquity was found in his heart. Because, like you said, we serve a God of choice. So if at that time, I would have the permission to say that Satan only knew good. He didn't know evil. God never showed him evil. So could anyone answer that question?
You're absolutely correct, sister. God is only good, and everything that he created was only good, not evil at all, because evil is not a part of God. So then Lucifer was created absolutely perfect, absolutely righteous, absolutely good. And for iniquity or rebellion or disobedience to arise in his heart, that was only good and righteous to begin with. It was perfect to begin with. Is a mystery. That's why Lucifer is called the mystery of iniquity. There is no reason why iniquity should have arisen in his heart. But because God created all the angels, and he created all the humans, and he created all the other intelligent beings in the universe with the freedom to choose, then with that choice comes the possibility of choosing not to obey God. So God didn't create evil, but he gave everyone a choice. And the first one to choose not to serve God was Lucifer. So God didn't plant within Lucifer the desire not to choose to serve him. That came mysteriously to Lucifer's heart. And as to how it came or why it came, well, we know a little bit as to why it came, but as to how it came into his heart, it was not overnight. It was a process. It took a period of time, but eventually Lucifer decided that he wasn't going to obey God. That's where sin came in. So it's called a mystery of iniquity. There's no excuse for it. There's no reason for it. It's something that happened in his heart. And because it happened in his heart, then he then spread it around to all the other angels, and he tried to spread it to the unfallen universe, and he spread it down here on earth. And we have all now chosen not to serve God. We are sinners. And Christ's death on the cross gave us the ability to choose no longer to sin and then be made as if we never chose to sin. And as Brother Joel was sharing, that is something beautiful and yet tremendous to think about. That God, in his infinite love for us, would make us as if we never sinned against him in the first place. To truly restore us back to a pre-fallen paradise. And the only way that the Father could do that in justice was through Jesus Christ. So you're absolutely correct in saying that Lucifer was only created good and that sin arose with him, and thus God is not responsible. But I want to bring out another point, and I hope I'm not taking away some from what Sister Rose is going to be sharing later. But she brought out very clearly that as the pituitary gland is the master gland that controls everything in the body, that represents Jesus Christ controlling everything, dealing with his people. But with the freedom of choice, you and I can choose not to allow Jesus Christ to control us, and thus we would be controlling ourselves. So in the physical realm, our minds are powerful enough to influence our pituitary gland not to function properly. For instance, if we choose to dwell upon things that are morose, to be depressed in mind, to be sad or angry, then that influences our pituitary gland to secrete hormones that are around that particular experience. So then, instead of allowing our pituitary to function the way that God created it to function, we can somewhat override its functioning with our minds by dwelling upon things that are bad, things that are evil and wicked. In other words, by beholding, we become changed, and our body follows right along with that change. But on the other hand, if we dwell upon things that are good, then it allows our pituitary gland to function the way it was created to function. So you can see that the freedom of choice is not just to allow God to rule through you and to live his life through you, but it also affects ourselves physically. That's why we're told in Proverbs that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. So depending on how we view things will depend on how our body responds. So if we're dwelling upon Jesus, we're allowing him to rule through us. If we're dwelling upon things that are good, we're allowing our body systems, including the pituitary gland, to function the way it was designed to function. And that's why Paul tells us, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And thus, our body will respond in like manner. So as long as Adam and Eve kept themselves in direct communion with God, everything was functioning the way it was supposed to. But when Adam and Eve chose no longer to function the way God designed them to function, it brought about a change in the whole scheme of things. Sin was brought in. Disconnection from the source of life occurred. And their bodies also suffered. All because of choice. So through Jesus Christ now, we have freedom of choice restored to us to where we can choose to allow God to reconnect with us and us with him and thus bring things back to the way that they should have been. So I hope you understood what I was trying to say, and I hope I didn't take away any of the fire from Sister Rose's future studies. But the freedom of choice is powerful, and it does affect our bodies as well as affecting our spirituality and relationship with God. But praise God that we have a way to be redeemed and restored to Eden lost and be able to dwell with our God.
Praise the Lord. Elder Rob, you didn't take away anything. At the contrary, you just magnify the whole purpose of what Christ has done, being that source in the most holy place and what it is and the benefit that we receive if we just yield our faith and our will to him. This is how he's going to bring vitality. And he will bring life to our bodies. All the message of the brain is fed to the pituitary gland. And if our brain is really storing things that it is of no life, that's exactly what we feed in. And that's exactly what the pituitary is going to do. It's going to suppress. You know, because the pituitary gland is going to determine that there's sickness in their brain. So why should he's not going to secrete more towards the body and jeopardize the other organs. So what he's going to suppress. And the more he's suppressing, then these organs are not going to be feeding the message that they need, because the message that was coming from the brain was not for life. So yes, it is a very powerful analogy. It's so powerful, it's amazing, because it makes us understand why that same quotation that Brother Bob just shared, which is a scripture song, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any, remember, virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So in other words, these things them is what allows God to release his virtue. And what he's released, the purpose of the virtue released from Christ is to make whole, is to make repair, is to be able to vitalize the body. So the more of the things them that we have, the more happier we will be. And even when you go sick, anytime when you're sick, notice you cannot bring any kind of burden among the patients, or to be able to bring anything to cause them to continue on in their sickness. You have to bring them in an area where there's harmony, where there's peace, and there's rest as well. So yes, Elder Rob, what a beautiful analogy.
Well, praise the Lord. There was a question in the room that says, can we print out the charts that was shown on the slide there? And the answer is yes. Since it's saved in a PowerPoint, what you need to do is go to the website where the archives are and then download the PowerPoint presentation. And then the PowerPoint presentation is on your screen here. Then down at the bottom right, there will be a little icon that you can click on that says menu. That will take you to another little box that gives you several options, and one of them is print. So you can then print out each slide, or you can print out just one of the slides, and then be able to get what you need that way. So also, these were saved in PDF form, although some of the newer ones are not in PDF. But in PDF form, it's a little easier to print out. Some do not have the PowerPoint viewer, but you can go to Microsoft, and you'll be able to download a free PowerPoint reader, and then give you the option of being able to print it out. So it is possible. And as I say, you can visit the website under the particular sermon in the archives for today or the previous sermons, and you can find the PowerPoint or the PDF file and be able to download it that way and print it out. Are there any other questions or comments or thoughts, perhaps songs or testimonies that you'd like to give, dear ones?
There's a song that I like to sing, and I'm sure some of you heard from yesterday called Just One Touch. But when I said before, I sort of got a little nervous, and that's how I did something kind of wrong. But now I remember how it really goes. Just one touch, and he moves along, pushing past the jostling throng. Just one touch, and the weak was strong, healed by the healer divine. Just one touch as he passes by, he will lift to the famous cry. Come be safe while the Lord is nigh, Christ is the healer divine. Just
Jesus, who turns me, makes me whole, speaks me peace to my sin, sick soul, to at his feet all my burdens full, cured by the healer divine. With spoon tucked as he passes by, he will lift to the faintest cry, come and be saved while the warrior's night. Christ is the healer divine. Just one touch and the work is done. I'm saved by the blessed Son. I will sing while the ages run. Cured by the healer divine. Just one touch as he passes by. He will lift to the faintest cry. Come and be saved while the Lord is nigh. Christ is the healer divine. Thus one touch, he turns to me. Oh, the love in his eyes I see. I am his work, he hears my plea. Cured by the healer divine. Just one touch as he passes by. He will lift to the faintest cry. Come be saved while the Lord is nigh. Christ is the healer divine. Just one touch by his mighty power, he can heal thee this very hour. Give sweet peace though the tempest lower, cured by the healer divine. Just one touch he passes by, he will lift to the faintest cry. Come and be saved while the Lord is nigh. Christ is the healer divine.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts or questions or comments before we close the service for today?
I just want to share a song related to the study and all that we learned today. This one, we had heard it before, and is called God Himself is with us. God Himself is with us. Let us all adore him, and we all appear before him. God is here within us, soul in silence fear him, humbly, fervently draw near him. Now he's all who have God, in worshiply lowly, yield our spirit fully. Come abide within me. Let my soul like Mary be thy earthly sanctuary. Come indwelling spirit with transfigured splendor. Love and honor will I render. Where I go here below, let me bow before thee, know thee and adore thee. Gladly with surrender, earth deceitful treasures, pride of life and sinful pleasures. Gladly, Lord, we offer thy to be forever, soul and life and each endeavor. Thou alone shall be known, Lord of all our being, life true way decree.
Well, dear ones, I want to thank you for coming and fellowshipping with us today, and thank you for your comments and your edification, and thank you so much for choosing to worship our God in spirit and in truth, along with your united brothers and sisters in the faith. I pray now that God will go with you and keep you until we're able to meet again. May his face shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance over you and give you peace in this next coming week is my prayer. So keep looking up, dear ones, and may God continue to purify and to sanctify you into his glorious image.